at the studio at the moment, I have Dr. Ela Humphrey, and she is from the Cambridge Family Social Enterprise and here to talk about a service from called the Hey Cambridge. Good morning, Dr. Ela.
Good morning, Susie.
Oh, nice to see you today. It's a very, very interesting subject, one that needs to be talked about quite a bit.
Yes.
But it's not a taboo subject as such, I don't think. I think more and more people are talking about it. But allow us some insight into how this all started and what you provide.
Okay. Well, I'm a psychologist in the NHS. I work in child and adolescent mental health services in Cambridgeshire. And myself, along with two other colleagues, Jane Rutter Richardson, who was the principal educational psychologist in the County Council, and Caroline Lee Cox, who was a GP commissioner for mental health services, felt that there really was a gap in provision for young people who had emerging and mild mental health difficulties. And we felt that we had a role to play in developing new service, which would address that gap and get children of school age the help they need as soon as they need it. So right now, the average age at which a young person might be seen in NHS services for mental health is 12 years of age. Yet we know that half of all individuals who will develop a mental health problem do so by the age of 14. So there's a lot of work to be done for those children who are just beginning to have trouble, whether they're young or teenagers.
So Dr. Ela Humphreys, how can they contact if they are? Because that's the key. It's good that you're providing it. Good that schools are aware of it. But how far are children aware of this?
Okay. Well, I think that there's increasingly, in the media especially, people will have heard of the Future in Mind report, which aimed to address the gaps of service and to think about ways to provide more money to develop services. I think young people, parents, teachers are becoming increasingly aware of mental health problems in the young. And also, I think the stigma is reducing. We have been very lucky. So we first started thinking about this project in 2014. And shortly thereafter, we were funded and continued to be funded by the Evelyn Trust here in Cambridge. And that allowed us to develop a very coherent business plan and begin to let the community know that we were here, we were available to help. And we have been approached by several schools. We're in five schools right now, all primary schools, who have purchased our services to help their pupils. We hope in due course with further funding, and we're hoping to work with local business community to develop the services so that young people can access them directly themselves. So not necessarily attaching them to schools, although we think that's very important because children spend most of their time in schools. Mm. But we also think with time, we hope to develop a walk-in clinic so that individuals can seek our services out. And also we have the support of the local commissioning group, the CCG, and we would like to think that in future we might also be funded, for example, through mechanisms like social impact bonds, leading to funding through statutory commissioners.
Yeah, so to continue this service, you do need to make sure that the funding is there, don't you?
And absolutely.
And that's another issue that you want to obviously talk about, is the funding. But in the meantime, I really like the idea of a walk-in space. Mm. Because it's lovely having schools being aware of it, but from a parent, I'm assuming my children are all right at the moment, but you just don't know. So having it's about talking about taboo subjects, and if children can't talk to their parents about it, it's really important for them to be able to be independent enough, and sometimes not even school, is it?
Yes. That's right. And there are walk-in counselling services locally. So listeners might be aware of Centre 33, for example. There are other third sector charitable organisations that provide help. And of course, GPs are the first point of contact for anybody who has a concern about their child. And for a young person who might be concerned about themselves, GPs are also a very good source of information. And teachers as well in schools. So yes, but I do think that one gap perhaps that we have filled is that we provide evidence-based treatments. We believe very strongly that there's a rich research literature out there telling us what works for early intervention. Mm-hmm. And actually, the research tells us that approximately 40 to 60% of children who are helped early on with mental health difficulties will never need to seek services again.
Wow.
So that's a huge saving for our country and really reduces the burden of disease, as it's called, the economic impacts of long-term mental health problems.
And the very interesting word is stigma. Because we, when we have a worry or we're low, we always think it's our problem and nobody else's problem. But for children, for young children, they are exposed to all sorts of things that I don't think I was exposed to. Internet, your phone, you're constantly, aren't you, on being sort of exposed to things that is on the go the whole time. I don't think children have a rest sometimes. I think it's either homework on the internet or it's talking. It's just very acute, I think, for children. So for parents to not to talk about it as well, and for children to be able to walk in. And very interesting that if you deal with it earlier on, you're saying that sometimes it's then sort of sorted from there on.
Yes, not just sometimes. In up to half of cases, the young person will not need help in the future. So, and we know with particular mental health disorders like psychosis, for example, there's been widespread early intervention programs available now for several years, and it's made a very big difference. So yes, we know that early intervention works, and particularly evidence-based early intervention. And just another characteristic of our service I wanted to emphasize is that we are a comprehensive service. We work very closely with community pediatrics, speech and language therapists, occupational therapists, because very often in the young child and in the teenager, difficulties such as, for example, worries and anxiety can be associated with other sorts of troubles like speech and language developmental problems, learning difficulties, and even physical difficulties. So it's very important to be aware of that, and we believe strongly that we need to provide a package of care which looks at the mental health problem but also looks at other problems that can be associated with that mental health difficulty.
Really interesting. So just what's the way forward for Hey Cambridge and for your approach to this? Because you need to keep this going. This sounds fantastic.
Yes.
And very helpful for everybody in Cambridge here.
Yes. Well, we're talking to a number of additional schools. We're looking for a secondary school to begin to pilot our model in secondary years. And we'd like to work further with additional schools. We hope to be approaching the local business community and others who will have an interest in mental health and providing mental health care to the young people in our community, to think about ways that we can use a contemporary economic model to support this need. Statutory services are very stretched. We've been supported by Social Incubator East, which is a local cabinet office supported project. And they have been fabulous in helping us to think about how we can develop using, for example, mechanisms like social impact bonds.
You were talking earlier about the Social Incubator East. It's quite unique in Cambridge, isn't it? It's a very interesting place for new businesses, particularly that are going to affect and help local people.
Yeah, it's a fabulous initiative. They're based at the Future Business Centre in North Cambridge. And I was saying to you earlier before we started that there's a real buzz when you go into their offices. And through Social Incubator East, we've been helped tremendously. We've had access to tutoring in accounting, legal structures, marketing, and continue to be mentored by them.
Oh, Dr. Ayla Humphreys, thank you very much indeed. It's been very, very interesting, and I hope that we learn from this and move on. And also, it's just a fantastic service, and I wish you all the best for that, because
thank you, Susie.
It would work really well.